بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وآله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
عليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
Listen, today's podcast episode, I want to start it off with a verse from the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about, you know, the people that come to him and those who will receive Jannah. إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. Those who come to him with a heart which is submissive and, you know, it's at peace. And you know, why does Islam place so much emphasis on the heart?
This dude munching, bro. Dang. Like, at least take it out the wrapper or something.
I'm not the topic of discussion. We're talking about the heart here. You know what? Speaking of the heart, the Prophet ﷺ said, there's an organ of the body. If that is corrupt, then the whole body's corrupt. And he's talking about the heart. Hence why there is so much emphasis on the heart. When your heart goes blind, you know, you're practically useless at that point. Mm-hmm. Because Allah talks about in the Quran, he says, it's not the hearts that are blind, but it's not the eyes that are blind, but it is the heart.
Mm-hmm. There's but emphasis.
In reality, what does that really mean, though? Mm-hmm. When your heart becomes corrupt and you really become, you know, blind to certain things, you can't tell right from wrong. And, you know, and that's a real problem right there.
You know, perhaps, you know, it's a reality. And we see this in the Quran from, like, the evidence is in the Quran that there are people who think that they are doing the best thing ever. They're living their life. They think they're the best of people. But when it comes time to the day of judgment and they get to see their actions, they don't see what they're really doing. They truly don't, like, and it's because of their hearts. And, you know, there's a verse in Surah Kaf, you know, today's Friday, Allah Akbar. Yeah, there's a verse in Surah Kaf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it's in the, like, the final verses. قُلْ حَلْنُ نَبِّئُكُمْ بِالْأَخْسِرِينَ أَعْمَالَ الَّذِينَ ضَلَّ سَعْيُهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ سُنَّعَ. Shall we reveal to you who are those who are most in loss in their actions? They are those who work effortlessly for the worldly life, and they think that they're ahead when really they, like, their work is lost in their life. They don't think about the hereafter.
Right. That's such, like, a great fear of mine. Just like you feel like you're doing everything for nothing, because at that point you are. Mm-hmm. When you're doing everything for nothing, like, you sitting here, you're trying to work hard, you're trying to sit here and do your best, but you're doing it all for the wrong reason. And you come to the end and you literally lost everything that you worked hard for. You know, you're not going to get rewarded for none of that. And you're just like, wow. Like,
bro, when you think about it, like, there are a lot of actions you might do on a daily basis that could be beloved to Allah, but because you don't do it for Allah, then it's worthless for you. You know what I mean? You're not rewarded the same way. Mm-hmm. Allah's the most just, like we always say, and I love this, you know, this principle that Allah's the most just, meaning he's going to give you good if you do good. But if you don't do good for his sake, your good is only seen here, mm-hmm. right? What you want is good in this life and in the hereafter, because there's you're able to go out and strive in this world to, you know, leave behind something beneficial for yourself or for your family or for your kids. And I'm not to say, like, you want to leave behind generational wealth, but I just mean a legacy where people say to you, or say about you, this person, he was very generous, he was very kind, he gave a lot in charity, you know? And then on the day of judgment, Allah comes and he tells you, you did that for his sake. All right, and I'll tell you a story of three men who the Prophet ﷺ told us about in hadith. They were, you know, traveling throughout the land and heavy rain started to fall. So they had to take refuge inside of a mountain. So they were inside of a cave and a huge rock rolled over, sealing off the entrance from the cave. So they had no way to get out, right? So now they all told themselves, okay, they're going to make dua to Allah, and they're going to call out to Allah by mentioning a sincere deed they did for Allah. So one of the men, he mentioned a time where he honored his parents with sincere devotion to Allah. But he didn't say, Allah, I did this for your sake. He said, Allah, if I did this for your sake, then remove this rock. And a third of the rock was moved. Then the second man said, what did he do? Okay, well, the second man did the same exact thing, mentioned a deed he did sincerely for Allah. He said, if I did this sincerely for your sake, move the rock. The rock moved another third out of the way. The third man, same thing. He fulfilled the promise to a person. And he said, if I did this sincerely for your sake, Allah, remove the rock. And the rock was fully removed out of the way. And I just want you to see, look at the way that the state of their hearts helped them, you know, relieve some pain or some mm-hmm. struggle in this dunya, mm-hmm. right? It wasn't about, because we can all do deeds. We're all going to do things in life. But mm-hmm. because they did it sincerely for Allah and they questioned themselves, they didn't say, I did this for your sake, Allah. They said, Allah, if my heart was in the right place in that moment, because I feel like it was, then, you know, alleviate this calamity that has just struck me.
And that's true. Yeah, go on.
Look, those sincere moments are literally what feel the best. Mm-hmm. I want you guys to imagine a time where you were going through a very rough and hard time and you made sincere dua to Allah, right? You used the best of names. You make sure you were fully concentrated. You made sure that dua was perfect. You treated it like it was the last thing on earth, mm-hmm. right? And then Allah fulfills that dua and you're like, subhanAllah, like Allah was really listening. Allah was really there for me, like in that moment when I needed him most. And you sat there in that moment, you felt like there was no other way out. And Allah gave you a way out.
And it's those moments like that where you really build true, genuine devotion to Allah. Because it's you, at the end of the day, you don't do that. Like, you start to build that heart where you don't do actions for other people. You're doing actions for Allah. It doesn't matter if they say thank you. It doesn't matter if they praise you. It doesn't matter if they hate you. You're still going to do what you got to do. Because on the day of judgment, the currency isn't money. It's not dollars. It's not euros. It's action. Mm-hmm. That's the currency.
And those sincere moments when you do... When you're really sincere and you do something for Allah, when you do something with ikhlas, like, hold on, 1 second. Mm-hmm. When you're doing something, when you actually do something that is sincere, it always raises you in iman. It always raises you in ranks because you feel yourself getting close to Allah. You feel like you're genuinely doing something. I want you to imagine, like, for example, after we pray, right? You're supposed to read subhanAllah 33 times, you know, alhamdulillah 33 times, Allah Akbar 33 times. Think about all the times when you sat there and you rushed it. SubhanAllah, 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 alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Like, it feels like it's kind of meaningless. But I want you to just imagine the times where, like, you were sitting there in the moment, like, you were stressed out and you said subhanAllah, and you're just thinking in your head, like, there is no imperfection with Allah. Like, glory be to Allah. Alhamdulillah, like, all praises and thanks due to Allah. Like, no one is deserving of this other than Allah. Allahu Akbar. Like, anything I'm doing in this moment right now, like, especially when I'm praying, when I say Allahu Akbar, in that moment, and I realize that nothing is more important, nothing is greater than Allah, those are the ones that are going to matter the most. Not those times when you're just sitting there just saying it. It's just, you feel like you're doing an empty deed. It doesn't feel sincere.
And I'll tell you what, just to go off of that, like, the dhikr of Allah, so recently, I've been trying to put into more practice doing more dhikr throughout my day, especially because, you know, I commute a lot, I drive a lot and stuff. And I, whenever I do work, I like to take a couple minutes to just, like, ground myself in dhikr of Allah or istighfar, right? And, you know, back in the day, maybe a year ago, maybe 2 years ago, whatever, maybe when I was reflecting, I was thinking about when I wasn't doing this as much, yeah, life was going good, but it was fluctuating, right? I didn't know how to navigate these fluctuations of iman, or when I felt really productive and times where I felt less productive or times I felt less motivated. But now I could see there's a literal correlation to the amount of dhikr I do in a day and how productive and how motivated I feel. I was literally telling someone this the other day that the more dhikr I make, the better I feel throughout my entire day. I feel good. My workouts feel good. My work feels good. Everything, my prayers feel so much better. But when I'm doing less dhikr and I realize that, I'm like, dang, bro, it's because I didn't make as much dhikr today. SubhanAllah. I didn't make as much istighfar because I ground myself in that remembrance to Allah. I ground myself. And Allah knows that. He knows that, okay, I know you want to try to do this. So when you don't do it now, you're going to feel the distance from me because you're not engaging in as much remembrance.
If you feel that distance from Allah, know that that's a reassurance. That's a reassurance. And that dhikr that you make, it reassures your heart and it makes your heart strong. And then that sweetness that you feel, whenever you have a sweet heart, everything feels sweet, even hardship. Mm-hmm. I swear, I'll be, well, Allahu Akbar. And during Ramadan, the pain and the hunger or the thirst that I feel, even when I work out, even this, it feels good. It feels better than when I'm not fasting. And then you go and you pray and you're thinking about that pain that you went through. And while you're praying, it just brings tears to your eyes. Because you know you did this for none other than Allah. That's how it really be feeling.
And it's just that moment when you're really doing something sincere, like, wow, this one sincere act, just because I did it for the sake of Allah, what if this is the reason why I entered Jannah? It doesn't matter all the other things that I've ever done. Like, this one sincere action, if Allah accepts it, like, wow, like, that's the best thing on earth. Because Allah, I know Allah, if he accepted this from me, like, there's no better feeling than that.
Mm-hmm. Bro, I want to bring up, since you just brought up Ramadan, you guys talking about these sincere acts. SubhanAllah, last Ramadan, all right? And I'll just reveal this to you just because, like, for relatability. Last Ramadan, when it started, I feel like maybe it was the first week, I felt like I was still low in iman. I was like, what the heck is going on? You know, I'm still praying. I'm still trying to, you know, devote myself to Allah, especially because this is the most blessed time of the year. I don't know if I'm going to make the rest of Ramadan. I don't know if I'm going to make it to the last 10 nights. But I was not feeling my prayers the same that I have before in the past, in past Ramadans, or even maybe the week before. So I kept trying to figure out what's going on? How can I be more devoted to Allah? But then I realized, I was like, bro, this in itself, that's how Allah is trying to bring you closer to Him. Right? These shayateen, they're not going to, you know, try to influence you as much because of, you know, the blessing of Ramadan. But the fact that you still felt a little further away and you tried to fix that, subhanAllah, that struggle right there is inevitably bringing you closer to Allah.
That's true. Because, you know, just the fact that, you know, you can go ahead and tell that difference shows that you still have iman in your heart. Because someone who doesn't, someone who's blinded, they're not going to realize it. They're not going to feel themselves getting far from Allah. You know why? Because they didn't have that connection.
That's the scariest thing.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, like, yeah. It's like,
that's the scary. If you commit a sin and you don't feel it, or like you say something horrible to another person and another person's correcting on you and you don't see where you went wrong, like, but what?
I was gonna say, but look, hold on. Like, this happens to literally everybody, right? And it starts to get to a point, right? And I've even like realized this myself. You get to a point where, you know, like, you know, just personally speaking, where it's like, you know, you might be doing something, you might hate a sin, right? But it might be something that you struggle with, right? So then you might end up in a time where you're struggling with that same exact sin. You're going back to it. You're like, no, this is wrong. This is wrong. And then you keep on going back to it. Then all of a sudden it's, let me try to justify or this and that. And then it gets to a point where it just feels normal. Like that's exactly what you don't want to be like. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like once you get to that point, like you're this close to like losing everything.
That's exactly why I say it's so important for like us. Like this is a huge reminder right here is don't go out speaking about things that you really don't know because that'll corrupt your heart, bro. This ignorance, that's a disease in itself. That's a disease of the heart because you really don't know right and wrong. You could say you don't know right and wrong when you've lived a life of sin, but if you live a life of ignorance, you also don't know right and wrong. Because how do you know Allah's command? I've seen people, you know, in these social media comments, right? They'll talk about, oh, that's not haram. Why are you speaking about this or whatever? And something actually is haram. But you even not knowing that, that's a disease in itself because if someone told you something was, you know, wrong and you're not supposed to be doing that, especially as a Muslim, and you don't go and, you know, fix that, right? You don't fix, you know, the lie you just told. Because if you make up a lie about Allah and his messenger, what happens?
Well, that's more wrong. Yeah. Fight, right?
More wrong. And it's just a very scary situation because you don't perceive it. Mm-hmm. You don't perceive the wrong. You don't perceive that, oh, I said this thing was a haram, but now I learned about it. But a whole bunch of people may have saw that. Now they go engage in this thing. You're going to bear that. Mm-hmm. You will. You're not going to bear this, like,
it doesn't hurt you. Like, it
sin.
Sounds,
but yeah. Look. You're not going to bear this burden of anyone's individual sin, but if you push someone, if you guided someone towards a sin, you're going to bear that every single time.
Yeah, just like whenever you guide someone to do something good, you have a reward like the one who did it. Yes, same thing goes for with, you know, guiding to misguidance. Mm-hmm. You guide to something wrong, you will have a reward like the one who did it.
I want to share with y'all something that happened last Ramadan. And like, because we're speaking about hearts, and this day was so significant to me because I still remember it. I still remember how I felt on this day, and it was like I was living a different life for a day, because this is how I remember it. I remember it's Ramadan, last 10 nights, Tarawih. I think it's like 26th night maybe, or 25th. I'm in high school at the time. School starts at 8 a.m. I get home, and at this time I'm playing sports after school. I'm getting home. I get home at like right around Maghrib time. Like I was a busy high school student, right? I remember I get home around Maghrib. I go to Maghrib, and I go to Maghrib to the mosque so I can try and get like to the first soft, because they be hogging the first line. They be placing their mat mm-hmm. there, and they be hogging. I'm like, I'm trying to get there first. I see some brothers there. Keep in mind, I see them at Maghrib. They're there. Pray Maghrib. I go home, come back. I pray Isha there. Then we're praying Tarawih. They pray 20 rakah Tarawih. I stayed for the 20, alhamdulillah. I left, and they pray Qiyam at that masjid. I slept probably 2 hours maybe. And I came back to the masjid to try and pray Qiyam with them. I prayed Qiyam with them. I still see the same brothers. I saw them for Tarawih. I saw them for Maghrib. I saw them for Isha. And they're brothers. They're like around my age. And now I'm there in Qiyam. They're praying Qiyam. I play alhamdulillah. I stay for the whole time. They encouraged me to stay the whole time. So I stayed the whole time. And then they went and they ate suhoor. And then while they're eating suhoor, they were having these conversations. And they were like conversations unlike I've never heard before. They were talking about, you know, like Adam, like the unseen. They're talking about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They're talking about the setup. They're talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're talking about angels. Like these guys are young people. Like imagine. It was strange to me. I was like, dang, like this is I was like everyone had so much energy, though no one had slept. No one was sleeping. Everyone has so much energy. And it's because I want you guys to like really hear this, because it's because of the, like our hearts, how we feel. I didn't feel tired. I wasn't tired at all. And I'm up at, like for 24 hours at this point. So who comes? We pray Fajr. I'm still same brothers. They're still awake. After we pray Fajr, a couple of other brothers, they said, y'all trying to meet up and talk again. Still inside the masjid. We go and we talk, and we're talking and we're talking and we're talking. The conversation doesn't stop. We're talking about Allah. And it's just like a group of us, five, seven, eight of us. And I'm like, yo, this is like one, I still remember, I'm excited speaking about it because I remember how I felt in that moment, because they were talking about, you know, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they're talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're talking about beneficial, they're talking about like things that I've never heard before, things that like made me view life in a different way. And I'm not tired at all. I'm up for 24 hours. I'm like, and then I look at the time. I'm like, the time for Islam, the sun had already come up and we talked all the way, and I'm late for school. And I go, I'm like, all right, I got to go to school. They're like, you're in high school? I'm like, yeah. And I go and I leave, and I'm like, and I go and I do school, and I'm still awake, and my heart still feels, and I don't feel a lick of tiredness. I don't feel hungry. I don't feel anything. You're fasting. Like, I'm like, how did I just do this? I didn't even sleep.
And understand, where does this come from? This comes from the same Allah who split the moon from who split the moon for Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the same Allah that parted the sea for Musa alayhi salam, the same Allah that allowed Isa ibn Maryam to go ahead and speak in the cradle. This is the same Allah that is going to go ahead and make that 2 hours of sleep feel like an 8 hours of sleep. The same Allah that's going to make your empty stomach feel fulfilled with the by keeping his remembrance in your tongue.
The same Allah who on the day of judgment, for those who enter Jannah, he removes the desire to sleep altogether. The need for sleep, the need for food, the need for drink. He removes all of it, right? Because that's the power of Allah, right? Sincere devotion to Allah can do, there can be, happen miracles in your life. Sometimes you don't perceive it though.
And then SubhanAllah. I'm like, dude, I felt probably the best I've ever felt in my life, ever. And it was, I'm telling you this now, and I remember it with such detail because I remember exactly how I felt in those moments.
Another great example is, you know, when we were out there, we were performing Umrah. How much time did we sleep?
It was not a lick.
How much time did we eat? None. Like, even when we went to Medina, like, I remember, like, we'd stop, we'd have our short, you know, 1 or 2 or 3 hour naps, and then we'd get up and, like, we're full of energy. Mm-hmm. Like, we're just going out trying to do the next thing, trying to see as many things as possible, trying to, you know, I was saying, trying to get the most out of it, right? Because you're here to worship Allah. So you're like, man, wow, like I'm here with the brothers, you know, I'm here in the house of Allah. I'm here to get my reward. I'm here to, you know, do as much things as possible. And yet I'm on no sleep. I'm hungry. I'm tired, like this. And I don't feel none of that.
And it's like, we weren't even complaining. That's the beautiful. It was like, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us patience on it.
It's the epitome of a salatu khayrun lakum min an-nawm.
Yeah, like, yeah.
And it's not just salah, but it's worship. Worship to Allah is way better than sleep, bro. And Allah's going to make allow you to feel that when you have this, like,
this iman, purified
heart to, like, that is devoted to Allah, that is submitting to Allah, then Allah is going to give you, you know, the fruits of your labor. You know what I mean? And I want you to think about, right? We hear this analogy all the time. You're like the average of the five people you hang around. And us, especially like as young brothers, maybe we want to all hang around really rich people or people who have a mindset to want to be very wealthy in this world, right? To be able to provide for their family, to have a nice lifestyle and things of that nature, to have this financial, like, stability, to be comfortable, right? To be comfortable, that's going to help you live life easier. Makes it easier, right? But if you surround yourself with five Muslims, five people who push you towards, you know, loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're better than any type of billionaire because you're compounding every good deed that you get because you're pushing them to be better. They're pushing you to be better. You guys are inevitably doing something that Allah tells us in the Quran, which is to racing to find the mercy of Allah, right? You know, in essence, kind of like competing to find the mercy of Allah together, right? You guys are all praying together. Like, the best thing that probably ever happened to me, like as a young Muslim, was when, you know, I shifted from hanging around non-Muslims to hanging with Muslims. Because then I had the freedom to just be like, yo, you guys want to just go chill in the mosque? We have nothing to do. We don't like to go to too many places. We don't go, like, bowling or something like that. Like, we might on occasion. But normally, if we're not at someone's house, we're just like, yo, let's go chill at the mosque.
Not even just that, bruh. Like, when you're hanging around your Muslim friends, there is no problem with, hey, we all have to go out and pray. Let's all go pray instead of, oh, I'll be right back. but that's just how it be, bro. Like,
bro, like, I want to let me know your thoughts on this. You know how I talked about that was the best I've ever felt? Likewise, like, on a different note, whenever you commit sins or, like, you do something you know you shouldn't have done, bro, it'd be like the next day, I could have a whole bunch of things playing I was excited for. It just doesn't feel good. It just does, like, my heart, it doesn't feel good. It feels like I can't perform my best. It feels like I'm not happy. Like, this doesn't feel as good as it should have. And it's like, why does that happen? It's like, because, you know, you've done something that's wronged your heart. You wronged yourself.
Right. And go ahead.
Also understand the fact that you're being tested. Like, Islam is not just all about, oh, I'm feeling good, this and that. Like, for example, like, a lot of us, we might listen to the Quran recitation just because it sounds good, but you just defeated the purpose. The whole purpose of the Quran is to sit there and reflect upon it and to take the guidance. And yes, of course, it will sound good. Of course, it will give you a calm heart. But don't let that be the reason why you're not sitting there reflecting upon it. Right? So we have to understand, if we're always being tested, we're going to have those days where we feel extremely good for our actions. We're going to have those days where we feel like we're not getting anywhere, even though we're doing the most. But understand that, you know, Islam, of course, yeah, it's built upon evidences and all that, but it's still a faith at the end of the day. You still have to have that belief in Allah, because that belief in Allah is what's going to take you to Jannah. It's not the fact that, oh, I believe in Islam just because, you know, evidences and I saw an angel. No, you don't see the angel. You
have faith.
Exactly. You have that faith in what's seen, what you can see and what you can't see, because Allah told you so.
Exactly. And I want to give some advice. Like, if you ever feel like you're far from Allah, right? Or you ever have those moments where you feel like your prayers aren't being accepted, or you may feel like your du'as aren't being heard, right? Then you have to really look at the state of your heart, right? What are the deeds that you're doing? What are things that could be taking you away from Allah, right? Seek Allah's guidance from that. Ask Allah to take you away from things that He doesn't like, things that He doesn't love, bring you towards things that He does love, and then also seek His forgiveness. Seek His forgiveness because Allah tells us in Surah Nur that if you seek forgiveness, He will increase you in wealth. He will grant you children. He will grant you the crop. Like, He will grant you this dunya, right, in a manner that is pleasing to Him if you just seek His forgiveness, right? He'll give you all these blessings in life if you just seek His forgiveness. Because why should you seek His forgiveness? Because you do sins that you know, you do sins you don't know. You do sins publicly, you do sins privately. There's so many things that we do that we're sometimes unaware of because Allah is alim al-ghayb, right? He knows better than us what's in our hearts, right? He knows the state of our heart. So that's why we have to turn back to Allah for Him to fix our hearts, right? So that He can help us purify our hearts.
You want to know the way I started looking at istighfar nowadays? Like, this is something brand, I'm talking about, like, this got updated last week for me. I started looking at istighfar like this. I know I could do better. Every day. Like, I'm not a Monday through Friday type of guy. No, I'm a Monday through Sunday type of guy. Every day, I know I could do better. And, like, I seek forgiveness from Allah. Like, I say astaghfirullah because I know, like, I had a shortcoming here. I had a shortcoming there. I probably did something wrong here. And it's, like, and it's day by day for me. It's not just, like, oh, like, at the end of the week, I wait till the end of the week and then I do my weekly seek forgiveness. Like, no, that's not how it works. I do. It's every day for me. It's, like, I know I could do better. I expect better for myself. You really humiliate yourself when you commit sins and you allow yourself to be worse and be a slob and be just the when you allow yourself to be a bad person, like, you're really humiliating yourself. When you allow yourself to lie, you humiliate yourself. You're only fooling yourself. That's why every single time, like every single day, it's like, astaghfirullah, I know I could have did better. Astaghfirullah, I know, like, if I could really utilize every single second.
That's, you just said something very real, right? Because this advice that I can do better, it's one of the realest things you can tell yourself. And that's where this istighfar could come from. Because if your day didn't go the way you planned, if your prayers that day didn't feel the way that you wanted them to, you did something wrong. You did yourself a disservice this day because you didn't do your best. Mm-hmm. Your day was not like at its best. You weren't at your fullest potential today. And if you weren't, seek forgiveness from Allah.
And this is why I always talk about the fact that no matter how good it may seem like you're doing, you can always do better. I don't care. Look, you doing 5 istighfar, you could do 10. You doing 10, you could do 100. You doing 100, you could do 1,000. You're doing 1,000, you can do 10,000. You know what I mean? And it's just that constant drive. You might not exactly get what you're looking for, but you're going to get better than you were before. Like, we all hear, like, the cringy saying, shoot for the moon, but if you miss, you land amongst the stars. Like, yeah, of course, we hear that it's cliche, but it's true. Mm-hmm. Like, you always got to aim high, right? And you might not always reach your goal, but at least you get somewhere. You get better than where you were right now. You're in a better place than before.
Exactly. The biggest disservice you could do to yourself is to say, I think I did my best today. I did my, like, you could do better. Like, you limit yourself when you say, okay, this is the best I could do. When in reality, you really could have done better.
You know, it's another, like, motivation, just something to think of. This today could really be your last day. Like, you're going to sit here and say, all right, I'm shutting my eyes for the night. I could not wake up in the morning. Did I do everything to the best of my ability today? Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't. Why?
Bro, subhanAllah.
Ask yourself why. What was stopping me from doing my best today? Mm-hmm. Was it the people that I hang around? Is it something that I'm doing?
In my heart.
You know what I mean? Exactly. Did I not make enough istighfar? Did I not, you know, it's just always, every one of us is going to have a different reason why we didn't do our best today. But it's, you know, it's just an excuse.
And people might think we're crazy for how much we encourage reflection. But, like, do people not express genuine concern for their life? Genuine concern for, like, What would your loved ones, like, there's a lot of people out there, what would your loved ones say about you if you were to die today?
I was going to say, like, where's the sense of urgency, the fact that you could die at any moment, right? Obviously, you know, that's not something that we're thinking about 24/7, but just at least let that thought pass your mind once a day or every time that you go and pray.
We reflect on anything but our deen. You know, I'll give you an example. If you're someone who wants to lose weight, you're going to reflect on, okay, what am I eating? You know, what is my gym routine looking like? You know, how am I going to go about, you know, like losing this weight and, you know, being active in the gym so that I can achieve these results, right? And what was I doing before, right, that got me to this weight that I don't want to be at? Same thing if you leave a job, right? You're going to reflect on, okay, what about this job did I not like, right? The next time I go look for a job, what am I going to, you know, look for that this job didn't have? Maybe the career was good, but maybe I didn't like my bosses, okay? You reflect on that. I don't like the people. I got to make sure the environment next time is much better. Oh, the pay here wasn't that good? Okay, next time I'm going to go look for a better paying job. Right? You're reflecting on everything. But see, when it comes to your deen, you're not so, like, heeding towards, you know, this level of reflection, right? If the doctor tells you, you caught a disease because you did X, Y, and Z, you're going to reflect on, okay, how can I avoid this next time? How can I get better, right?
Are you gonna
if Allah shows you that the state of your heart can be better, right? Because you feel that in your heart, you feel this level of iman, I'm not doing my best, I feel like it can be better, then why are you not going out and doing the work to get better?
Right, because we always go in that state of diagnosis where we're like, how did we get here? Exactly. You know what I mean? But why are we not doing that for our deen? Mm. I don't know. One quality that I like, that I always like to do, no matter what it is, whether it be a video game or whatever, I'm just like, if I'm not doing my best at it, then I failed. Like, I hate going into something and just not being the best at it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
You truly, like, you really, you got to be the biggest believer in yourself and the biggest believer in Allah. Because that, you know, I'll say it right now. Like, as far as your faith is, that's, like, as far as it can take you. If you say you want to be a king on earth, mm-hmm. ask Allah for it. Yep. Like, no one's telling you can't.
Exactly.
And what? Do you believe he's not going
to
give it to you?
And that's the thing, bro. Whenever someone says, I can, like, I always love to say, all right, bet, I can't watch this. Then yeah, I'm just like, you know, because there's a way. There's always a way. You can always find a way. You make your dua to Allah. You make enough dua to Allah. You make enough sincere dua to Allah. Like, you will get that or better. Mm-hmm. Impossible. You don't get anything out of it.
And one
impossible.
Thing,
impossible.
One thing yeah. that leads to a disease in the heart is not knowing who Allah is, right? Because, you know, we as Muslims, we often think that we're not going to be tested. But Allah warns us. He is going to certainly test us with, like, certain types of laws. He said, do you think you'd say you could believe or that you believe and we won't test you, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also tells you that he wouldn't test you with something you can't bear. So if you always know that whenever a situation arises, whenever you're struggling with something, you know you're strong.
You were built for this.
Right? You're literally built for this, right? Right? And I also want you to understand that as Muslims, we know that this life is not the eternal life. So it can never always be good. If it was always good, it'd be Jannah, right? And that's one of the principles that you have to live with in your life, because sometimes we live life, right? And it's all good. Everything's going amazing. Our iman is high. We're living good. Our provision seems good. Our health is good. Then a calamity strikes. Why? Because we weren't being as grateful to Allah, because it's so easy to lose Allah when life is going well.
Bro, the moment the calamity strikes, you forget everything.
And I was about to, look, I just wanted to understand something. Wow, I already forgot. Bro,
the moment the calamity strikes, you forget everything and you say you never had anything good in life. Like, that's, it's a test. It's just like you said, bro.
Is it not the same principle? When you see someone who's done so much good in the public, he slips up one time, makes one mistake, everybody says they cancel him, right? This mm-hmm. is that cancel culture you see, right? Someone does so good their entire life, right? And let's say they're famous. One slip up, boom, you forgot everything they did.
Right, and I was going to say something. Like, when has there ever been a situation where you've been tested or put through something and you just didn't make it out okay?
Exactly.
Let's be honest. Let's be like, that's something that we should always reflect upon. Like, yes, you should always be grateful. Yes, you should always thank Allah. But just always remember the fact that there has never been a time in your life when you went through something and Allah has taken away something from you and he did not replace it with something better, or you didn't get through it. Mm-hmm. When has there been a time? Name me something, right? Because if that were true, like, you wouldn't be here right now. Mm-hmm. And even looking at death doesn't always have to be such a bad thing. Like, you got to understand, everyone wants to go to Jannah, but no one wants to die.
Thanks. And death is the most inevitable. Huh.
It's going to be something hard for, you know, those people who are so in love with this dunya to accept, right? And, you know, may Allah protect us for that, because we don't want to be consumed by, you know, the falsified, you know, pleasures of this dunya, right? We know that we have tools here that we can use, right? Allah obviously gave wealth, he gave value to money, right? Or he forced us to bring value to money, right? Mm-hmm. So that it could help us live life. But it's ultimately us who values it above what it's meant to be, right? Because if we get it, that's good. If we don't get it, that should also be good. But we live our life nowadays thinking that's the only way we can live a good life. That's the only way we'll be satisfied.
And you know,
with life.
I think it's the most noble thing or the most honorable thing to see, like, a man, or he just lost everything, like, he's smiling. Like, is that not noble? Is that not honorable? It would, like, think about the type of life you want to live. If it was all peaches and rainbows, like, okay, you did it. It was peaches and rainbows for you. Of course you were going to do it. Of course you were going to have, like, all this success. And of course you're going to be happy. But, like, and, like, you know, you see the people who talk about having good mental fortitude and good, you know, having a strong mind, but they're in the most calm places. They have the best homes, best apartment. They, you know, they got all the resources. But, like, what about the people that are in the mud? That are, you know, they don't got anything and they still smile. They're still smiling. Like, those are the people. Like, talk to me about mental fortitude with them.
But you can have two different situations and obviously two very different outcomes. But, like, here's the thing. We all know everyone's going to get tested. We're not going to be tested in the same way. We won't make it out the same way. Look at the example like of, you know, the prophets. Look at Nuh alayhi salam, right? His son, did he get on the boat? How easy would it have been just to listen to his father? What was it, 10 steps, 15 steps, 50 steps, 100 steps away just to get on the boat? But no, he said, no, I'm good. I'm going to go on top of the mountain, right? And I'll be protected. He didn't listen to his dad. It would have been so easy for him to go ahead and just listen to his dad in that moment. Now, if we look at Ibrahim alayhi salam, we look at his son. He had a dream, right? That he was going to slaughter his son, right? And, you know, and he knew his father was a prophet. And he knows that whenever he got the dream that, you know, that's the revelation from Allah. And what did he say? Whatever you need to do, you know, you go ahead and do it. Even though, what a tough situation to be put in. And yet, in full submission to Allah, he was able to go ahead and do it. Why was one situation so hard, yet they chose the better outcome? The other situation was so easy, yet they still went with the wrong way. Like, you know, you got to just think about that.
The hearts. SubhanAllah, it's the hearts. Man, that's a good one.
No, that's an amazing example because, like, when you think about it, right, we don't revere the prophets for their status of, like, wealth or whatever. We revere them for their status of piety.
And their honor. They were noble. Their
ikhlas, you know, the principles in Islam that were taught, right? Starting with tawheed, right? Their level of tawheed that they exhibited, right? Because they're the best of, you know, mankind. But then also the other qualities we see that we should see as Muslims, right?
Matter of fact, that just reminded me. Look, if we're speaking about the hearts and becoming blind, this should be the best example for you. The Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, his wife died as a what? A disbeliever. Lut alayhi salam, his wife died as what? A disbeliever. The uncles of the Prophet died as what? Disbelievers. Yet they were so close to these prophets. They should have the most guidance out of everyone. But yet they still died as disbelievers. But yet, you know, even like fast forward now, 2025, you have someone in a remote country, they know nothing about Islam, yet they still die as a Muslim. Like, subhanAllah. Just think about that.
It's not about lineage, it's not about color, it's not about race.
Like, look how blinded your heart could really be. You have a prophet right there, right in front of you. You sleep with them. You're there with them every single day. You see them on a day-to-day basis, yet you still don't believe. Mm, and yet, look at us as Muslims in the year 2025. We've never seen any of these prophets, and yet we believe in them full-heartedly. Because if you don't, guess what? You're a kafir. You're a disbeliever. You're out of the fold of Islam.
That's hard, bro. And that actually reminds me of something, right? You know how some people like to say, oh, I wish I was alive during the time of the Prophet and the Sahaba, right? Mm-hmm. They think like, oh, this life, it's like this. There's too much fitna, blah, 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 around here, right? And they think, oh, it's different. Like, you know, you were surrounded by the Prophet. But look at, you know, the way that being surrounded by the Prophet tried those people, right? Mm-hmm. Why are they so revered? Why is the status of the Sahaba so high? Because look at the fitna they had to go through. Of course, yes, we have to go through the fitna today of, like, you know, lowering the gaze and stuff like that. That's nothing compared to what they had to go through. They were pushed out of their homes. They lost their status. They lost their wealth. They gave up everything for the message of Islam, right? To be able to be called Muslims, to follow the Prophet ﷺ. None of us would be able to go through that, or else we would have been there.
And I was just about to say that. You know what I mean? Like, how could you really say that? Because at the time, you never know. The likelihood of you growing up in a disbeliever's home was very likely, right? Mm-hmm. Because there wasn't many Muslims out there. So the likelihood of you being born to a disbeliever's home would have been very likely. And the likelihood of you accepting Islam would have also been very slim.
Yeah.
So you got to think about it. You better be grateful for the time that you were born in now, right? You got to honor what Allah has given you now. You got to be grateful for what Allah has given you now. Not worried about the past, not worried about the future. Like, you got to be thankful and grateful for the moment right now and work towards your future, right? Like, you don't ever want to sit there and be like, yeah, I wish I would have done this better. No, it's called Allah. It all comes from Allah.
I believe it was a sahabi who said this. He said, it would be better for me to bite on a hot coal than for me to say, I wish the decree of Allah had not happened.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
SubhanAllah.
And
exactly, because what are you doing? Why are you questioning Allah? It's like going outside.
You think people, you know better? No,
like, for example, you go outside, it's cold outside. You're cursing the weather app, but who decreed that?
No, fact.
Who willed that this was, like, you know what I mean? Like, no, like, honestly speaking, it's not even something that's funny. Like, you go outside, like, it's raining outside. People are like, man, I live in such a, you know, four letter word place and this and that. And it's just like, subhanAllah, like, who gave that to you? Allah did.
Bro, but someone asked me recently, they were like, do you ever wish that you could just know the future? I was like, no. I was like, yes and no. Of course, like, if I could know that I was going to Jannah or something, right? But then I was like, no, because the uncertainty of knowing, like, okay, is everything I'm working for, is it going to happen or is it not? If it doesn't, what am I supposed to do? You know, what if I see, like, the path I'm on? Oh, shoot. What if I see the path I'm on right now and I see that it leads me to Jahannam? I can't do anything about that. No matter how much I change, that story's written. What am I going to do that? And you know, by I believe it's like what, the Mandela effect or something. Even if you were to know, you're still gonna lead yourself down that path. If you were to know your end right now, no matter what your state of your life you're in right now, it's gonna lead you down that path. The way I was thinking about it, I was like, okay, so if you were to know, you know, your future, right? How your end is. Let's say you were to die upon this belief, but right now you're a believer. You trying to avoid that is gonna end up be like leading you to disbelief. That's the way you see it. Because if you worry about the things that you can't worry about, the things that you can't control, you're inevitably going to
you're going to tear
your heart out, right? It's going to tear your heart because
you got to control the things you control.
Satan wants you to worry about things that are out of your control, that, you know, he wants you to worry about the unseen, right? He wants you to make questions like, you know, questions that you don't need the answer to. Questions that Allah did not reveal the answer to you because you don't need it. But then when you start asking them and you're like, oh, where can I find the answer? Now you start thinking different of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? Because mm-hmm. I remember when I was first seeking knowledge, like, and I was really trying to get heavy into it, I started asking like these questions because I obviously didn't know. But then I started realizing, like, asking these types of questions, they don't benefit you, right? It's just going to tear your heart out because now you're going to be like living with this curiosity and it's just going to be building up. And then the love for like knowledge because, oh, something is not there, right? Like, for example, if you're thinking there's other humans out there, it's none of our concern. What does that have to do with your deen, right? Mm-hmm. Believing in the unseen, that's all you need to know. We don't say yes or no. We just say Allahu Adam, right? We just say Allah knows best, subhanAllah, right?
Oh, yeah, just like, you know, those people that be like, oh, the Quran needs a revision, or I wish the Quran would have said this, or no, you don't. You shouldn't wish that. Allah revealed it the way he wanted it revealed, and that's the best way it will be revealed. That's because Allah revealed it that way, knowing that that's the perfect way to reveal it to us. Like, why are you sitting here and questioning that?
Or like, even hadith rejectors,
exactly, bro. Like, brev, think you know better, brev.
I was literally debating a hadith rejector on our YouTube today, bro, because I was like, the thing is, for one, I miss the debates low-key, just because, not a debate with, like, no non-Muslim, but if you're someone who's claiming, you know, the religion of Allah, I got to know, like, why you think something like this and why your logic is this way. So I had to actually talk to him. I had to, like, bring just rationality. I'm not going to bring a whole bunch of evidences because I don't need to. I can just bring rationality. Why would Allah not provide for his religion and telling you to obey the messenger if the Quran tells you to obey the messenger? How do you obey the messenger?
Bro, the thing with the hadith rejector is you believe all those people lied, like, that's your claim.
I said you believe 1400 years worth of scholars who came to study this religion,
they were all dedicated wrong,
their
right.
entire life, and they were wrong, they were incorrect in their interpretation. And
that's the thing. Like, look, when I used to debate non-Muslims all the time, they're like, some of them, like most of them, you just don't get through to them. You know, you sit here, you say the same thing over and over again, you bring about the evidences and all that, but it's part of the heart. The heart is blind. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter what you show them, it doesn't matter what you say to them. And like, that's when I really got to the point where I'm like, man, it's not even just about what I'm debating here. It's about some random person might watch this video and they might get guidance from it. You know what I mean? I'm not so worried about the person I have in front of me. Because you just never know.
Look, the heart becomes so blind that, like, for these hadith rejectors, if the person who narrated that most ahadith came to you, Abu Huraira came to one of these hadith rejectors and said, like, yes, the Prophet ﷺ said this, they wouldn't believe it. Because if you can't believe it right now when you can't see it, then why would you believe it when it's right in front of your face? Because the same thing would happen. Allah would say, now you want to believe?
Al-an.
Yeah, now you want to believe?
Same thing with Fir'aun.
He saw the sign of Allah right in his face. He was about to die. And he said, now I believe. No. Allah said, no. Now you believe? No. Now you want to say that? No. It's not going to count, bro. It's not going to, it doesn't matter.
It's about the heart.
Right? That's why the Prophet called this ummah his brothers, right? The people who came after him, who couldn't see him, but they will believe in him. They will believe in his message, right? That he was the messenger of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right. And with that, inshallah, that's going to close out this this podcast. I hope you guys really take some lessons, you know, about the state of your heart and about, you know, how to navigate, right, whenever you feel like your heart is becoming hard, right, to the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to the teachings of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, right? Because the thing that we should embody the most is trying to follow Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he is the best of mankind. There's no other mentor out there that could teach you better than what the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam came and he taught and what he preached. So inshallah ta'ala. Take that, and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Make sure to share this with your friends and family. You never know whose life you can change by sharing this video. And just to let you guys know, we're still students of knowledge. We're not scholars, so we're open to any correction. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
If you have a bad heart, make sure you listen to some Quran. It will help you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.